This podcast is brought to you by Cashflow Mastery, the only revenue management course in our industry that teaches you step by step how to become a master revenue manager in your hosting business. For more info, check out getpaidforyourpad.com/cashflowmastery. That's getpaidforyourpad.com/cashflowmastery.
Get paid for your pad. Get paid for your pad. Get paid for your pad.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to podcast number 613 of Get Paid for Your Pad. Today I'm doing something new. I had a really good conversation with Steven Suarez, the host of the Live, Let, Thrive podcast a couple weeks ago. And I thought it'd be really cool to publish that conversation on Get Paid for Your Pad as well. So do a double post. So he posted it already on the Live, Let, Thrive podcast a couple weeks ago. That was episode 286. But I'm sure there's a lot of people that are listening to Get Paid for Your Pad who are not listening to Live, Let, Thrive. So I figured I'd repost that conversation. We talk about, you know, creating amazing guest experiences. We talk about revenue management. Steven has some pretty funny stories that he's sharing as well. So yeah, I think it's really a pretty valuable conversation that we had. It was a lot of fun as well. So if you are a listener of the Live, Let, Thrive podcast and you have already listened to episode 286, then you don't need to listen to this again. But if you haven't, then go ahead and listen to this episode. I'm sure you'll get some nuggets out of there, or a couple laughs even. So yeah, I hope you enjoy this podcast, and I'll pass the mic to Steven.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another exciting episode of Live, Let, Thrive. I am Stevie Stacks, coming at you from Fort Worth, Texas, and this is your favorite, along with Jasper's, I have a special guest today, favorite short-term, mid-term, long-term rental podcast in the world, coming at you from Fort Worth, like I said. This is 287, episode 287, and we have a special guest today, and he is a legend in the STR community. He is Jasper Rivers from Get Paid for Your Pad, man. He's been doing it for longer than we've been doing. You're inspiration for us to start a podcast a long time ago, man. And I'm so excited to speak to you. Way back then, when we did our first interview with you, we just started our podcast, and then you had yours established for a while, and there wasn't very many short-term rental podcasts, and we were only two of a handful. Maybe there was like three or four or five, but we were always at the top, me and you, and it's pretty cool, and it's a lot more podcasts out there that cover short-term rentals, and we've branched off from that. You and I we cover a lot more than just short-term rentals, and it's pretty cool. So welcome to the show, Jasper. I'm so happy to have you on, man.
That's a good intro, man. I appreciate it. I think the first time I remember when you started your podcast, I think I was on one of the first episodes, but I think your beard wasn't as gray back then.
Ah, yeah, yeah, and you had more hair.
It was mine.
Yeah, and then you finally got married. That's cool. Congratulations. Yeah,
dude, a lot has changed.
Yeah, so back then, man, short-term rentals was kind of a new thing, and you explained your story. You can brush up your story. You can go over it a little bit on this show. You know, you could always go back and see Jasper's original episode on our early teens, probably. But yeah, go ahead and tell us a little refresher on your story. What got you into short-term rentals?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, this was back in 2012. When I decided to travel around the world, and I was renting out my one apartment in Amsterdam long term, and I realized that wasn't ideal. So I tried this new thing called Airbnb, and it just, you know, immediately took off. I recognized that, you know, there was very little information out there on the topic. So I decided to put together all my notes and publish a book, Get Paid for Your Pad, start a podcast. This was back in 2014, so we're almost a decade in. Over the years, done a lot of different things. But right now, me and my business partner, Eric Miller, we're focused on building a new short-term rental hospitality brand called Freewild. which we launched just in October last year. So we are focused on bringing a unique and modern short-term rental experience to traditional vacation rental markets. So think mountains, beaches, things like that. You can check us out on Instagram, FreeWild. That's FreeWild with a W, Y-L-D. So free wild, but with a Y instead of an I. And yeah, that's what we're passionate about right now, about, you know, really bringing, like, scaling a really unique short-term rental brand in the industry.
And that's cool how you're bringing it back to what it used to be, you know, the vacation rental market instead of the traditional vacation rental market, because this stuff's been going on way before we started doing you know, Airbnbs out of our houses or condos and stuff like that in the suburbs before, while it was all legal still. But what drove y'all to take it back to just doing in the traditional vacation rental markets?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was mostly the brainchild of my business partner. But, you know, we partnered back in 2020, I think it was. We recognized that there was a need for education. So we came together. We started a company called Overnight Success, where we, you know, we have courses and masterminds and stuff. He at the time, he built like a huge company in San Diego. He had like 120, 130, maybe 150 listings. But, you know, then COVID hit, and we had a mastermind with all these like large operators that we were meeting like virtually on Zoom, you know? And everyone was like panicking during COVID, right? And we were trying to help these companies stay alive. And through that process, we kind of realized that, you know, in order to be successful, or what was lacking in our industry, we felt like was really like a strong brand, you know, like something unique that people can really attach to, where you're just bringing something to the industry that doesn't really exist. And it was interesting, because I remember we were talking about like, what's your favorite hotel brand? And everybody has their favorite hotel brands, right? I love Shangri-La, for example. Shangri-La hotels in Asia are amazing. There's a hotel called the Citizen M that I really like, where they call their guests citizens, and it's super unique and, you know, really awesome brand. But when you ask people, you know, what's your favorite short-term rental brand? You know, everyone says Airbnb, which is just a marketing channel, right? But no one really has like favorite short-term rental brands, and we just kind of recognize that there was an opportunity to bring like a new brand to the short-term rental space, where we're focusing on like the modern traveler who kind of wants the standards and the world-class experience that like the, you know, the top hotel chains bring, but they want to stay in those traditional markets, right? The traditional vacation rental markets. And I'm sure you've been to a lot of these markets. You know, there's a very typical inventory in those markets, like where we are in Idlewild, for example. It's a mountain area. So, you know, you get the classic cabins out there, but you don't really have like a modern experience, right? Where you have great customer service, you have, you know, technologies there, interior design inside of the units. You don't really find that in those markets. And so that's what we're decided to develop.
Nice. And you know what comes to mind, because you're saying your favorite hotel chains or whatever, and I know they're thinking about this too, because as for example, Marriott, that just jumped to my mind. And what do they have to like compete in this kind of like Airbnb world that we're living in now? They created Bonvoy, right? And they have really cool commercials. If you've seen the commercials, you know, if you go, you fly on the airplanes a lot, they always show them on the airplanes, you know, sign up for Bonvoy or check out Bonvoy. And it shows, it shows the stories. It doesn't even show like the inside of the, I mean, it might show like the inside of a room or something, but that's not the point. The point is a grandpa flying somewhere like on the beach to see his grandkids that he ain't seen in a while, or a married couple or lovers or whatever. It's painting a story, what Bonvoy is. And I think they've done a good job of it. And so I like what you're saying, that you're trying to paint a brand, and it's something in the mountains or the beaches or wherever it is, and people, and then of course, exemplary customer service. and something that's not just, hey, it's an Airbnb, right? You know what you're going to get, or you don't know what you're going to get. But with your company, people will know exactly what they're going to get.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, and it's interesting because like when you talk to people who don't like to stay at a short term rental, then you ask them why, it's usually exactly that. It's usually like, yeah, well, I never know what to expect. You know, I got 7 vacation days in a year. You know what I mean? I'm traveling somewhere. I don't want to roll the dice on whether the host is going to be communicating, or, you know, like, you know, they don't want to gamble and risk it. So they that's why they booked the Marriott, right? That's why they booked the Four Seasons, because they just know, okay, it's you know exactly what you're getting, right? Mm.
And the name Free Wild, it makes me think of like young people going off exploring, being free, being wild, and stuff like that. Now, is that your target market, or are you get old people too? You know, or in between? Well, I mean, that just the title itself, it makes me think of, you know, younger demographic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not necessarily targeting the very young, younger crowd. We're kind of targeting ourselves, if that makes sense, right? So let's say like, you know, 30s to 60s, professionals, people who want to have like a unique experience in nature, right? In the mountains or on the beach. But they also want to make sure that they get like the high standards, right? And you know, to explain a little bit more about the word free wild. So one of the things that makes us unique is that we try to inspire our guests to disconnect from their devices and spend our time in old school way, right? In a traditional way, like playing board games, listening to music. You know, sitting outside around a campfire, right? Sitting in the hot tub and telling stories and having conversations with each other instead of, you know, being on your iPad, your phone, or being on your laptop. So we have two modes. One mode is free, where where you can do whatever you want. So if you have to work for a couple hours on your laptop, you know, you want to do something with your phone, make some phone calls, whatever you want to do, you're free to do whatever you want. But then we inspire people to step into what we call wild mode. Right. So we have a wild box at our properties where everybody can put their phones in there. And then we have a wild menu of like suggestions of what you could do. Right. It's like, hey, you can go on a hike, or, you know, we have conversation cards. Right. So people can actually have real conversations with each other. Yes. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So we're trying to inspire that to our guest of, you know, stepping in the wild mode and, you know, spending real quality time with each other versus being distracted by, you know, all the social media and like all the devices.
Mm, nice. And so what's the feedback been with doing trying to do something different? Are people like, mm-hmm. hey, you know, that sounds all right. Or some people are all about it, you know, putting their phones in there, yeah. And stuff. And some people are like, yeah, I ain't going to do that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think that's it's definitely like a, you know, some people they're like, you know, they're not so into it, so they still enjoy the experience that we're bringing, but they might not be as excited about that side of what we're offering. But some people, like, immediately when, you know, they get the first message, the booking confirmation message, where we explain that we encourage people to go in wild mode, and, you know, some of our guests like immediately respond back and say like, wow, that sounds awesome, like, you know, I'm definitely going into wild mode, this is amazing, right? So I think, you know, when you're bringing a very unique experience, it's like, you know, some people are going to love it, and those people are going to be coming back all the time, right? Those are the people that are going to be like, you know, in a few years hopefully we'll have like 5 10 15 20 free wilds across the country. And then those people that really connect with the culture that we're trying to build, those people are going to be the ones that are just going to stay at Free Wilds, right? Mm-hmm. They'll be like, okay, let's go to a different Free Wild. Let's go to, oh, there's a Free Wild over there, and that's in that town too, right? Let's go to Free Wild because we love that brand, we love the culture, we love the experience.
No, is a Free Wild, is it like a boutique hotel thing? Is it like a hostel experience? I'm asking. Let me paint a picture, because when I used to, in those younger days, I used to travel through Europe and stay at hostels, and, you know, nothing fancy, but they'd always have like a gathering area or a bar, you know, and they have music playing. You meet people from all over the world. That's what I loved about the hostels. You know, I was talking to people. I was in Frankfurt. That was my favorite one. you know, of all places, Frankfurt. They had a cool hostel there, and it's right close to the main train station. And of course, you met people from all over the world there. I didn't even know, like, for example, I met some Eastern Germans, right? And I never even knew the story. I mean, that there's still this divide between Eastern Germans and Western Germans. I learned this just by talking to them. And they told me the story why it's still kind of like that, you know. But I met some really cool. I mean, they were nice, super nice, and I met some really cool people and shared some stories. Grabbed a guitar off the wall, started playing some guitar and singing with some people. It was just so fun. Whereas here, let's just say United States, I don't know if hostels is really a thing. I've never seen them, but people go to their own hotel rooms, stay in their whole hotel rooms. They do the excursions or whatever they want to do with their own, you know, get their own people. And then that's their vacation, you know, but in Europe it's more of a communal thing. Is that what you're trying to build? And is this like a boutique hotel kind of setup?
Well, it's not like a hostel, right? Like we have cabins with kitchens and, you know, so it is a more of a short term rental experience, but we do see, like, over time, we do see us building a culture, and, you know, our guests, like, we call them wilders, and we do see that this could become, you know, a community, right, where wilders want to meet other wilders, right? Because if you love the concept of disconnecting from your devices and, you know, reconnecting with nature and, like, having just spending quality time together, right, without those devices, like, if that's something that really speaks to you, then you're probably going to enjoy meeting other people that are also drawn to that concept, right? So we do definitely see us building a community over time, but our, you know, our cabins and our units are all private, right? So it's not like a hostel where you're sharing bathrooms and things like that. And the hostel is very focused on, like, that everybody meets each other, right? It's very social, there's social areas and everything. And we do have, at our first property in Adelwald, we do have, like, a shared park that people can walk around, they can do picnics and stuff like that. So there's an opportunity to meet, you know, the other wilders. But yeah, it's still a private short term rental experience.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's just what I was wondering, because I do love that too. I love my privacy here too, you know, especially now I got the family and stuff. But I love just meeting people from all over the world and cool places. That was pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all doing, like, I know you're painting a picture for me here, but are y'all doing, like, commercials and stuff for this? Because I don't. And how are those going?
Yeah, I mean, we actually just did a little bit of advertising. So we're, you know, Instagram is a big channel for us that we're building out. So we ran some ads for, like, a giveaway where we actually got really good results. We got a lot of new Instagram followers. We got a lot of new people signing up for our email list. Because, you know, driving that the direct bookings and building up, like, that loyal base of repeat guests is definitely a big focus for us. And I think, you know, when you have a unique brand, I think it's easier to build that because people have a reason to follow you. They have a reason to come back and they, you know, they want to learn more. There's a lot of content that we can generate, that we can create around this topic. So, you know, even though we launched in October, we're definitely hitting the direct booking channels and the marketing behind it from the get-go.
Okay. And you're still marketing on the big channels too, the Airbnb and VRBO?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we'll probably always be on the OTAs because, you know, why not? I mean, you know, it's a affordable way to source, you know, to find new customers essentially. So I don't know if we would ever completely be gone from those OTAs, but our goal is to, you know, to build up the direct booking channel.
Well, if you think about it, like, you go to an OTA and it says this condo is managed by Vacasa, right? So they're still on the, and they're huge. Yeah. They're still on the OTAs. Now, do you put something like that? Do you put your logo on there, the Free Wild logo, and then you put, you know, this is managed by Free Wild, or do you put stuff like that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're definitely brand driven on the OTAs. So, but yeah, you're right. I mean, the big companies, they, you know, they're still using those channels. So there are some companies that don't use any OTAs, right? And they make that part of their marketing. It's like you can own, you only book direct. I think Getaway, I don't know if you've heard about Getaway, but I think they only do direct bookings. So you can't book a Getaway anywhere else except for at getaway.com.
You know what that reminds me of is, and it's still, I believe it's still the case now. So Southwest Airlines, you know, they are not on any of the kayaks or price lines or stuff like that. You know, Americans on there, Delta, all the other ones. But Southwest is like, no. You got to come straight to us and book on our site. We're not going to put our stuff on other people's websites. That was like a conscious to you know, there's a lot of people is like, why is it's money? You're going to go be more exposure. But it trained their target demographic to find them online, drove all the traffic straight to them. And that's the only way they can book.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, there are examples of that. There's not many of them though. Right. But there are some examples. Southwest Airlines is an interesting one. I want to say I've seen them somewhere else on some other site, but I don't know. Mm. They're definitely affordable.
I know for a long time, it was just, they refused to go on anybody else's sites. I guess they like the control. I don't know what it is, but protecting their brand and, you know, why they don't want to end up on a crappy site that people hate using, you know, it's not, but that's not us. That's their site. So cabins, you know, when we started doing this and we started doing short-term rentals out of our houses and then of course getting arbitrages out of apartments and stuff, it was always cool to see what people were doing, like, you know, in cabins or like you said, in the cabins in the mountains or like a beach bungalows or something. It's like, wow, that's cool. You know, I'd love to do something fun like that. And so how was that? I mean, I remember your story that y'all bought like a group of cabins that were already built. Mm-hmm. And so you had to go in there and renovate them to your specs or how did that work?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we found a property a while back, right? This is in September 2021 when we bought it actually. So it had four existing cabins and a bunch of land around it. So we initially we ran the property as it was for a while. Then we renovated the properties and really launched like the Free Wild brand. And now we're going into the next phase on that property to see what we can build out there, like there, because we, you know, we have space to build additional cabins. So right now we're exploring that. We're talking to the county and stuff and seeing what's possible to expand the operations down there.
If I recall correctly. You kind of like when you very first started that, you told me you kind of inherited a staff and it didn't end up working out too well. Can you go over that again?
Yeah. So, I mean, the town where we are in Idlewild is very, very small. Right? It's just a couple thousand people, right?
And where's this at again?
Idlewild, California.
Idlewild, California. Okay.
Idlewild. So it's not far from Palm Springs.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I mean, we had a few people that worked for, you know, previous owner and we worked with them for a while, but you know, I guess, you know, we're our vision for how we want to operate was very different than the previous owner. Right. We want to have like a world-class experience for our guests. Right. So we're setting the standards like much higher than, you know, what they were used to. And so we had to find a different solution for that. So we actually partnered with a local a management company, right? So they manage like 60, 70 or so cabins out there. And we made a deal with them that they would, you know, they would handle all the cleanings and the maintenance and all basically all the underground stuff.
Okay, cool. And it kind of reminds me, and you go look at the previous episodes with Jasper, but he mentioned, you know, how it wasn't working out with the people that were already working for the previous company, and y'all kind of kept them on and tried to teach them what y'all are trying to do, which is way different from what the previous ownership were doing out there. You know, it wasn't as world class. Let's just say that. But it reminds me like when a team hires a new head coach and they still have all these assistant coaches in place, but what usually ends up happening? He fires all the the old regime, right, and brings in his guys because he wants to change the culture, And it's like, it's in any business, in any sport, it's usually what happens. You probably don't want to keep the same people, decision-making people in place. It's going to cause friction. You know, we don't do it like that. We've never done it like that. Why do we have to do it? You know, it's just simpler to start yeah. fresh.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think it's important for everybody on the team to be aligned on, you know, how we want to work together, like what the standards are. And, you know, if there's no alignment there, then, you know, I think everyone's better off like without each other. Then, you know, you got to be aligned.
Nice, nice. So you got your brand, you got your cabins. And you're doing the vacation rental markets. And what it also, of course, without being said, with doing business in vacation rental markets, it kind of shields you from the regulations that are coming everywhere.
Well, not really. I mean, there's pretty strict regulations in Idaho, actually, you know,
really?
Which we don't mind it. We don't mind it because, you know, we think that we believe that there should be regulations, you know. And so we don't have we're not against regulations. Idaho is, they're putting in pretty strict new regulations in there. And we're totally cool with that. I think the regulations, that's something that we have to focus on in every market that we go to. Because even if there are no regulations yet, they're gonna be there at some point, right? So I think that's a focus for pretty much everywhere.
That makes sense. But I would say it might help a little bit keeping you from like an all out ban, you know, like a big city or a suburb or something like that, because it is a vacation rental market. They rely on that money. Yes, regulations, it could be a good thing because a barrier to entry, it'll keep out all the scragglers that are gonna come in there and make trouble. And keep out competition. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's not like New York or, you know, like Santa Monica and in Los Angeles, where they're completely banning it, right? That's true, but it is restricted, you know.
Nice, nice. So you got these up and running, and so where's your next market that you're planning on opening some more?
I mean, that's a good question. You know, like we're constantly looking at properties that come on the market. You know, we want to be in traditional vacation rental, like in nature. So we're currently looking at Big Bear, we're looking at Joshua Tree, we're looking at Sedona, we're looking at Lake Tahoe. Like those are kind of the markets that we would like to expand to this year. Eventually we want to be all over the US, but since we're in California, it makes more sense to, you know, to expand in the area first. There's some really cool markets around us, you know. So I'm actually going up to Joshua Tree and Big Bear myself in about 2 weeks to, you know, spend some time with some friends, but at the same time also, you know, keeping my eyes open and understanding those markets, because I mean, we're looking for a very specific property, right? We're not looking for just, you know, any cabin or any type of home. We're looking for very specific vacation rental properties that have multiple units, you know, could be anywhere from like a handful or 10 to all the way up to like, you know, 50. And we're looking for these type of properties that fit our brand, right? And that are in the markets that we're looking for. And there's not that many for sale, right? So that's why our models, it's not so easy to scale it. And, you know, it's going to take some time for us to scale it. But We'd rather build a brand that we're passionate about, that we believe in, and that's really unique, and, you know, take more time to build it versus just kind of doing what everybody else is doing and, you know, just rushing to scale as quickly as possible.
Now you said, okay, I'll stick to that right now, but I'm going to go back to Joshua Tree and you probably know why, but right now, going back to, okay, you're looking at these places where you can do what, you know, the cabin experience or something, you know, similar, and the place you're at now, you know, Idlewild or Free Wild, your company, you actually have more land to put more cabins, you said. Now, in the meantime, can you do things other than, you know, a full out cabin? Can you put some A-frames up? Can you put some like tents? People can rent a tent. Can you do things like that won't cost a ton of money to make and then start, you know, upping your revenue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, there's a lot possible. And like you mentioned A-frames, that's actually, we're working with our architect right now to design, you know, we want to design our own free wild structures, essentially, right? And they're like unique structures. They, you know, it's not just like regular cabins. You know, we've got a lot of really cool designs that we're working on with our architect. That could be, you know, A-frames or kind of a combination of an A-frame and a little bit of a different angle here and there. And like, you know, so we're really trying to create something really unique, that, you know, because I think that's what people want, you know, that's what people are going to want more and more in the future. I think, you know, unique experiences, and people want to stay somewhere cool, you know, especially the younger generations, you know, they don't want to stay just at some random place, right? They want something cool. And that's I think that's the future.
Yeah. And now on the topic A-frames or something, you know, something similar, would you have to build out, I would assume you have to build out restrooms and showers too?
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah. Like, you know, grading, the roads, you know, the foundations, like there's a lot that goes into it. You know, amenities, we're thinking about, you know, maybe a pool or like a little cafe, like the whole thing. Yeah.
Nice.
But it all depends on, like, you know, you got to work with the county, right? To see what's possible.
Okay. So let's go back to Joshua Tree real quick, because you mentioned Joshua Tree. You're going to be out there. Now, as a lot of us operators know, that it got really saturated out there, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, because people would come on, especially, you know, come on our shows and talk about Joshua Tree a long time ago. And then word, you know, word spread really quickly. Wow, Joshua Tree, you can get something for cheap out there and make a ton of money, you know, hand over fist. And then, yeah, of course, the music stopped a bit because everybody went out there, and then it was a race to the bottom in pricing and a race to the top in amenities, right? Because you can no longer make a buck if you didn't have a hot tub, if you didn't have a cowboy pool, if you didn't have, you know, something really amazing out there, you weren't going to make no money. Because in a regular, nice, because I'll say this, because we do manage one still. It's a nice looking house, got a beautiful views of the mountains and everything. It just doesn't have the super high amenities that you need to make money in Joshua Tree.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. You know, and especially now in February, it's winter time, right? So, yeah, it's great for us, because I rented like a really awesome like 4-bedroom, and it was very affordable.
right. Yeah. So that's the danger, I guess. But the point is, knowing your brand and what you can do, what you can provide to people, you know, it separates you from the pack, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's why it's so important to bring something unique, right? Because otherwise, if there's a lot of new inventory, then, and if you have to compete on price in those markets, then, you know, then you're not gonna do very well.
It's tough, man. Because I'll say this, because people would get sent our way that had bought a guru's package, right? And they got them started. They found them their arbitrage, which they paid way too much for, and they furnished it for way too much in a market. They said, "Oh, well, the AirDNA says it's going to do this much money, right?" And then they got started and losing their ass, right? And they call us and say, "Hey, you know, they said you can manage this for us." And we look at it and we're like, "Man, you know, it's going to be tough. We're going to help you out. We're going to try to make you something. As far as you're not making anything right now, and we'll make." We might bring them up to a point where they're breaking even or make a little bit, but I mean, it's we don't have much to work with clients like that were part of that huge Airbnb buzz that happened a few years ago, right? And everybody wanted to get into it, and it just, like I said, drove. And then the people written out their houses, or, you know, the arbitrage, whatever, they knew that these Airbnbers are going to pay double the rent that a regular person is going to pay. So they're written out to them. So it was like the perfect storm of people getting screwed on the prices, not knowing what they're doing, paying way too much on furniture and pricing and all that stuff. And then oversaturation happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. If you bought something, especially in those markets where the supply has gone up so much, and you bought something based on, you know, 2021, 2022 numbers, then, you know, you're in trouble. And especially with the master leasing, that's why the master leasing is a risky model. You know, I mean, I think another company just went, another mass leasing company just went belly up, wasn't it? Front Desk a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right. I remember having the founder on the podcast 8 years ago or something when he got started. But yeah, the masterly, the arbitrage, that's a risky game to play. You know, like we work with investors, right? So like, obviously, yeah, if the market goes down, like our investors aren't making the return on investment that they were hoping for maybe, but we're not out of business, you know? And, you know, when you have something like a unique brand, like we have, then I think there's a lot of people that see the long-term potential and the long-term opportunity of investing into that brand. So they're not necessarily, our investors are not necessarily worried about like, oh, we're making like 1% or 2% less this year, right? Mm-hmm. They believe in the vision of our company, and you know they're in there for the long term. So that's, you know, that's a bit different.
Yeah, that is a different model. Well, let's speak on this controversial subjects while we're at it. We're talking about oversaturation of markets. You know, gurus might have taken advantage of people. The oversaturation of the gurus, man. And I know that I'm not calling you a guru, but you know, and I was in your mastermind. It's great, and you taught us some great stuff. But I don't think you're the type that's putting people into these tough situations. Whereas anybody that just read probably your book and said, "Oh, I could be a guru now and teach other people how to do this and make a buttload of money." So speak to that, what you've noticed in the oversaturation of the guru market.
Yeah, honestly, I don't really focus too much on it, to tell you the truth. I'm not really a social media person. So, you know, I see some ads sometimes where, you know, the market, they're very focused on, a lot of them are very focused on the marketing, right? The marketing is really good. Like you get like a, you know, an Instagram ad where someone's like has a fancy car and is like, you know, I started, you know, I didn't have any money 5 years ago, and then I, you know, did this and that, and now I'm like a millionaire, and like you could do it too. Which, you know, I mean, sure, I'll never tell somebody that they can't do it, but the reality is, it's, you know, it's very, very difficult. Like the short-term rental business is a very difficult business to run. It's 24 hours. There's a lot of different aspects to the business, right? You have to wear a lot of different hats. And yeah, the reality is that it's a lot of hard work, and you have to have a passion for it, you know? And it's hard work and it's not easy. And, you know, if you're passionate about it, it can be an amazing business, because you're really having a positive impact on people's lives, right? I mean, if somebody has like 1 week or 2 weeks off, per year, right, to spend with their family, and they stay with you and they have an amazing experience, like that's an impactful experience that you're facilitating for somebody, right? So I think it's an amazing business, but yeah, it's not easy. It's especially now, you know, if you started like 5 or 10 years ago, then, you know, it was a bit easier, of course. But yeah, I think you also have to be realistic to people, right? The goal shouldn't be, in my mind, the goal shouldn't be just to sell as many dollars and courses and everything as possible. The goal is, like, you know, understand like where you can bring value, find out if the person that, you know, wants to buy your stuff, if that's the right person for what you're selling. And, you know, you have to have a level of integrity there, I think. And if you don't, then, like, you know, like you're not going to last very long, because the short-term rental industry is very small, right? So like everybody, you know, people know each other very quickly, and your reputation can get destroyed like very quickly too, if you're not like driving value to people, I think.
It's funny you should say that, because I do remember a lot of the short-term rental, I guess, gurus ended up going to Clubhouse. And you remember Clubhouse back?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't used that in forever. But Clubhouse was, oh, you got to get on Clubhouse. You got to get on Clubhouse. You know, everybody's on there. And it was a lot of people from our industry on Clubhouse, and just going back and forth, you know, trying to help people. It started off nice enough. People trying to help people out, giving them advice, all this stuff. Then these little shows started happening. And then, of course, the gurus flooded the place. And it was just seemed like infomercials every time that someone spoke, right? You know, buy my course, go to my thing, do this, do that. And then the evolution, I got off of it because, you know, a buddy of mine told me, hey, you got to check this out. Started sending me clips. And it just got to the point where the gurus were fighting with gurus. It was so crazy. It was like, get your popcorn and watch. Because they were calling people out. Oh, you ripped so and so off. You know, they told me this, and that you stole their money, and this. I mean, it got really bad on there, man. They were calling. I mean, I'll tell you off the air, but some big wigs in the industry were just getting called out on there. They even came on there and tried to defend themselves. So yeah, I know what you mean about the integrity and the size. You know, it seems like it's a huge, and it is a huge market because Airbnb, but it's a small club of people that are like the ones that have been doing this for a while. And once word gets out that you don't have that integrity, it's game over for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I wasn't a part of that clubhouse stuff.
It was entertaining to listen to, man. I'll tell you that much. But yeah, I haven't been on there for a long time. I was gonna say, oh yeah, enough about that. Let's jump into something that you had mentioned earlier about revenue management. You know, that sounds like a big fancy business term. What can you break down? Just tell us what the hell is revenue management, man?
yeah, it's interesting, you know, because I started focusing on this. I want to say probably about a year ago. Or so, where I was just noticing that a lot of our students and a lot of people in our community were starting to see the slowdown. Right. And, and so, you know, I started looking more at like, okay, well, I mean, I've always been I'm a math person, right? So like, I love numbers, I love graphs, I love all that stuff. So I've always been really interested in the pricing aspect, right? How do we actually maximize our revenue, right? How should we set prices? You know, everyone uses dynamic pricing tools these days, but you know, there's a lot of parameters you have to put in there, right? You could have if you don't set up your tool correctly and you don't look at the actual market data, like you could be priced completely wrong, right? But to answer your question, like, what is revenue management? I mean, there's it's funny because like we did some webinars and some trainings, and you know, we'd have 100 people on there. And, you know, we would ask people like, hey, drop in the comment, like, what do you think revenue management is? And we get like 100 different answers, right? It's like, you know, some people think it's your price, it's your pricing tool, or it's like, you know, getting the highest ADR, or it's like getting the highest occupancy, or, you know, there's so many different definitions of it. But in my mind, it's just, you know, how do you maximize revenue on your units? And it's not just pricing, right? It also it overlaps with distribution, because you can set different prices in different channels. It overlaps with operations because, you know, you might want to upsell stuff or early check-ins or, you know, one night stays. You might not be able to do one night stays operationally. So there's operational aspects to it, and obviously marketing. There's marketing aspects, right? Because, you know, most people probably think that revenue management is pricing mostly, but you know, if your listings aren't great, you know, if you have bad photos or there's something lacking in your marketing, then, you know, you can have the smartest pricing strategy, but you're not going to make much because no one's going to book. Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, there's a lot involved with revenue management. You know, that's what I've learned over the last year or so, been going to conferences and connecting with all the revenue management experts in the space. And you know, there's a lot to it, and that makes it a very interesting topic. And I think right now it's very relevant because, you know, as we all know, 2021, 2022, you know, you just do kind of whatever and you're making money. But right now, that's not necessarily the case anymore, right? So now we got to take all these different aspects of the business very serious, and we got to educate ourselves. And really understand like, okay, how do we actually drive a higher revenue? Because now like increasing your revenue by 20, 30% could mean staying in business or going out of business, right? Versus a couple of years ago, it was like, yeah, you're making not as much money as you could, but you're still making good money, right? And that's changed now. So that goes back to what we were talking about before. It's like, you know, running a shorter rental business, like you gotta wear a lot of hats, you know. There's like the revenue management, there's the marketing, there's the customer service, there's the bookkeeping, the accounting, like there's so many different aspects to it that, you know, it's we definitely should not be misleading people that are new and making them think that it's easy and they can just, you know, come in and make a bunch of money, because that's just not how it is.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I liked about, you know, when we were on the mastermind, on your mastermind, you would talk a lot about the business aspect of it, you know, because it is a business. And it's not just furniture in between four walls. It's more than that. And if you're, I like, you know, because people have existing places. And if you could bring up the, if you can make it, improve it. And that's the thing, because people are like, I don't want to spend more money on furniture. Even though it should, you know, they probably should upgrade the furniture. I've been doing that a little bit. Or create a fourth bedroom in a house, for example. That's what I'm up to next, even though it is like a kind of arbitrage house. But I could see the potential of a fourth bedroom separating me from the pack of three mm-hmm. bedrooms. And then you have to pay for the professional photos again. But this is all an investment, man. And I've heard, and you mentioned marketing, and I, you know, back in my college days, they mentioned how important marketing was, that Coca-Cola spent 50% of their budget on marketing. 50%. How much does the average short-term rental operator spend on marketing? They try to do all the free stuff, right? But they don't, they probably don't spend $1 on a Facebook ad, or I'm not saying you have to do that. Or you know, they won't invest in the best photos and the best, you know, furniture is part of your marketing. You got nice stuff, you got pictures, you got to put it out there. But whereas the big corporations, they know that how vital it is. If you're not being seen, no one's going to buy your product, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Well, I mean, you know, the reality is that, you know, since Airbnb became popular, it offered a way for people to make money and build a successful business without having to do marketing, because you're basically just paying Airbnb 15%, you know, for customers. And that was a viable option for a long time. And it still can be in certain ways, but it's just not, you know, it's not as easy anymore.
No, no. And you need a great website. I would say, if I'm gonna just give my own advice, you need a great website, because you're gonna have your brand on there on your Airbnb page, right? And so people, most, you know, computer savvy people will look at your brand and, oh, I could find that mm-hmm. out there on the Google land, and they'll go to your website. And if it's a crappy little landing page, then it's you lost them. They're not. Oh, yeah, I don't trust these 100%. Guys. You know. But if it's a nice, wet-looking website, professional, bookable, looks like a Priceline, maybe not as good, but looks nice and decent, has a phone number, has an email clearly where they can call you and talk to you, then they'll trust you, right? That's 100%. I mean, that's basic, which I still talk to so many people and they don't have a professional website. So I'm just saying, I mean, and they're getting by, but just these little touches go a super long way with your potential clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, if you look at Airbnb and you look at booking.com and those, look at the design, and like every single detail has been tested out, right? The color of the button, right? Like you go on booking.com and like you search for a property and you click on a hotel, you know, and it always says like, you know, one room left or two room left, right? Mm-hmm. And you know that's not true,
no.
Right? But it's like, you know, they've spent so much time figuring out like, okay, how do we get people to actually book versus just, you know, just looking at the site. And, you know, we have to have that same mindset. Like when we develop our book, like our booking website, right? We also have to have that mindset of like, okay, well, how is this going to get people to, how is it going to convert, right, into bookings, right? And to your point, yeah, if you're not building trust, you're not building reputation, you don't have a good call to action on the website, if you don't make it easy for people, because people want the process to be easy. You know, I think every additional step that you add to the booking process will cost you like, you know, 20-30% of your guests, because people want things fast, right? So that's why on Airbnb it's so easy to use, right? Just click couple clicks of the mouse and boom, you're booked. And people want that same experience. So like, I you know, it's funny because like, yeah, I see a lot of direct booking websites from our students, but also the properties that we're looking at, we're potentially interested in purchasing. And sometimes you're just like, it's so complicated, like just to book, that it's like, I would never make a booking on this website because it's just like, I'm just turned off by it. There's too many, I have to fill out too much information. And, you know, I just want to like put in the dates and I just want to click on the book button and, you know, put in my credit card info and that's it. I don't want to deal with any other sort of steps. And yeah, to your point, it's, you know, you got to be professional about it these days.
Be professional. Pay a little extra for that website to have it where it loads fast, because if they're going to wait 3 or 4 seconds for it to load, they're gone. They're on to something else. Our attention spans have become so microscopic nowadays, and that's just technology, you know, it's done that. It's funny because you try to watch an old movie and you're like, God dang, this buildup is taking forever. When are they going to get to the point, you know? Whereas the new movies, you need an explosion every 5 seconds just to keep you, you know, interested or something like that. But but that translates to the people want to go, oh, okay, I'm going to click on his site. Site looks good. Oh, I can, the dates are available here. I can book it, you know, or I can call them. There's a real phone number on there. Because, I mean, I don't know if you noticed the trend, even giant big corporations. I know because we deal with a lot of apps and stuff, you know, with our industry. They don't give us a freaking phone number anymore. They want us to do that AI chat thing to try to figure it. Oh, my God, that's so frustrating. I can't talk to a human, and not even the chat thing is a human anymore. And it just gives you options. But to give someone a real phone number where you can talk to a real life human is huge. It seems like the industry is going away from that.
Well, you know, one thing that comes to mind is, you know, we had in our mastermind, we had Brooke Fouts. I'm sure you know Brooke.
Yeah.
He wrote a couple of books, right? Vacation Rental Secrets and 0 to 500. And, you know, and he has a company called Venturi where he helps people acquire new customers. And he, in our mastermind, he was talking about how important it is to just pick up the phone. He was like, if you pick up the phone, you're ahead of 50% of other property managers, because he called like 100 property managers and like only 40% or so picked up the phone. Right. And that kind of blew my mind. I was like, wow, you know, that, and to your point, you know, like people want to deal with human beings, right? And not necessarily with the AI bot or the whatever it is.
I'll tell you, Grandma Jean out there's got full pockets and she wants to talk to somebody. She ain't about, you know, going on a little chat thing. So if you answer and it's Grandma Eugene, she'll tell you her whole life story, but she'll trust you and she's gonna book with you, man.
Absolutely. I mean, look, there's a place for AI and everything, but you know, I think the human connection is something that is always gonna be important in hospitality. You know, there's the idea that you want to just kind of automate everything. I don't think that's the right way to go. I think people are more than ever probably gonna want a human connection and a human that they can talk to. We see it with our guests. We see it all the time. You know, when there's a little issue, we don't, you know, we just call them, right? And we're just like, hey, you know, like we're gonna help you out. This is what we're gonna do, and they appreciate that. Right. And as a result, you know, you'll still get that 5-star review, even though the water heater didn't work for like an hour or whatever it is. Right. That there's a storm and the internet went down for a couple of hours, like whatever that is. Like if you show people that you care and you bring that human connection to the guest communication, then, you know, people are going to they're not going to punish you for, you know, small issues
for the most part.
For the most part,
some people
you can always
please.
Get them lucky, but
yeah, some people you can't please, and sure, that's just part of it, man. It's part of hospitality, right?
Well, I was actually looking at a property today that we potentially were interested in purchasing, and you know, the reviews, everyone was raving about the location and the beauty of the nature and all of that. But there was one thing that, like, in all the reviews, it was like, but the host was horrible. Like, you know, never responded. Like, you know, everything is automated. And like, I don't even know who's behind this. And, you know, people feel like they've been treated as a number, like a robot or something, and you know, that's not no bueno.
No, no bueno. And you could pay like a small amount to have someone answering that phone for you at all times, you know. But people don't want to invest in that. They want the easy button. So I don't know if you wanted to flip the script now and ask me some questions and go the other way with this thing. Because we were just talking, me and Jasper were talking about, okay, we're going to each post this episode on each other's podcast, right? So in the middle of it, which we've almost been going for an hour, but we're going to flip it the other way. And he's going to ask me, excuse me, put me on the hot seat a little bit about my business. And then, you know, we're going to go over stuff. So if you want to do that, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, we're already going for an hour. I'd say we schedule another time, and because I don't want to rush it, you know. I don't want to take my time to ask you some difficult questions, you know, that you're gonna think about.
I'll BS them. Don't worry. No, that's cool, man. And going back to it all, it you do have to be passionate about this thing, and the reason I got into it, because I used to stay at short-term rentals, Airbnbs, and I thought it was super cool. People could rent out their own places, and were very creative in the beginning. And of course, that turned into a cookie-cutter IKEA thing for a little while. But then the creativity is coming back to it, right? And mm-hmm. so that's what drew me in. I was like, wow, I go to this cool place. There's like a mural on the wall. They got some wine. They left me a bottle of wine. This is a hotel would never do that crap. They charged me like $50 for this bottle of wine. But it was just like stuff like that was what drew me into this industry. And so I did have a passion for it. That's why I wanted to start doing it. Not just because I saw there, of course, back then there was no gurus online selling courses to do this. We're just like, oh crap. Okay, I'm just gonna list my hat, take some pictures with my phone and throw my house on there and see what happens, you know. In the early days, people wanted to meet me, you know, oh, you're going to be at the house? You're going to let us in? I was like, no, there's a code on there. But if you want to meet, we can. And then we'd meet and we'd go out and sometimes and have some beers with these strangers from other places and have a meal. And they'd want to, you know, they'd leave a lot of goodies behind at our house because we were cleaning it ourselves. It was just that's how it all started for us, right? Until it turned into like more of a business. But then I think it could be both, right? You could be a business plus have that, you know, homey feel to it, right? This experience with these people, you want them to have a cool experience, a unique experience. You don't want them to just be like, okay, I stayed at this cookie cutter, whatever place. And then mm-hmm. we left and they'll never even remember it or remember you.
Yeah. No, 100%. No, I think, you know, it's when you talk to people that are hosting, like it's very clear that there's two categories, like, there's the people that are in the mindset of like, we're providing a space, right? And there's the people that are in the mindset of like, hey, we're providing an experience to our guests, right? And, you know, I think we have to be in that second category.
Yeah, yeah. It's come full circle again, right? And that's what I like. This industry has always got some ebbs and flows to it. There's sometimes it's a gold rush, and then the next time it's an oversaturation, then everybody leaves again, and it's another gold rush. There's been so many; it's like a roller coaster ride. But I like what you're doing, and I've always wanted to try something, you know, similar. I've been looking for more doing beach stuff, and I think I told you the story. We love to go to South Padre Island in Texas, you know. We live here in Texas. I've always gone down there every summer. But even up till today, even, you know, there's still some old timey, you know, beach houses that furniture from the 80s that they won't invest in new furniture. They got wicker like furniture and just there's no design to it. There's nothing. So I see a lot of potential when you find a places like that. To really, really maximize the revenue management as we go full circle on the revenue part of this show.
100%, dude. 100%.
Yeah, yeah. So that just all that. I love talking about this stuff with you because, I mean, me and you are OGs in this industry. You've helped me out tremendously, and I really appreciate that. You've helped a lot of people out. You give so much free knowledge every week on your show. You've been doing it since 2012, you said?
Yeah, well, the podcast 2014, so about coming up on 10 years.
Wow, dude, that's crazy. You're going to have a celebration for that?
Of course, of course. Yeah, we're going to do something special for sure. Yeah.
So there's a big conference going on this week. Are you going to still go to conferences and stuff?
I went to two conferences in the last couple months. I went to the VRMA in Orlando. And then I also went to the DARM, so the DARM, which is the Revenue Management Conference. So that was in Nashville in December. Then literally like a week after the conference, I flew back to Europe and I spent, I was supposed to spend about 5 weeks in Europe with family, you know, went skiing, did a bunch of stuff. So I ended up staying a little longer because some challenges with the family that I needed to support on. So I decided to stay a couple of weeks longer. So I just got back last week. So I was like, man, I don't want to travel for the next couple of months. I just want to stay here now. Because I mean, I love the conferences, but you know, it's a lot, you know, it's intense. Like you're flying out there, you're spending a couple of days and then you come back, you have to catch up on work and you know, it's a lot.
Is it a net positive going to conferences?
I mean, it depends, you know, it depends on what your goal is. It depends on how you approach it. I think, I mean, we could do a whole podcast on like getting value out of a conference. I have been to so many conferences in my life. But yeah, I mean, if you have a plan and you're very clear on like what you want to get out of it and who you want to talk to and what connections you want to build and what you want to learn, if you have a plan, then I think, and you know, these conferences can be very valuable. But if you're just randomly like booking a ticket and you don't really know what you're doing, and then it could also very easily, you know, you get some free drinks at the parties and then you come back and you're like, well, I didn't really learn anything, you know? So yeah. It all depends on how you approach it, I think.
What's one like big thing that came from you going to one of those conferences?
From the last couple ones that I went to?
Or any of them.
Anyway,
something
yeah,
that I mean, sticks out, that just something big that really changed your trajectory by going to one of these things.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting that I noticed at the VRMA in Orlando this year, or last year, that was in October. Number one, it was like there was a record amount of attendees, right? So there was like 2,700 people or something there, right? So that's a lot of people. But actually, what the, you know, one of the things that really stood out to me was, you know, they were giving away these boxes to all the attendees, and in these boxes were like a couple things that you need in the house, right? So like dishwash detergent and you know hand soap and things like that. And it, you know, when I checked we rented the Airbnb with some of the people in our mastermind and our courses. And you know, the first thing I noticed, it was an amazing house, but there was nothing. There was no, they didn't supply anything, like no consumables, like no, you know, no coffee, no oil, no hand soap, no nothing, right? Mm. And then when I saw at the VMware, they were handing out these free boxes to everybody, I was like, ah. They must have realized like how bad the short rentals are here, because you don't get anything, right? So like I thought it was kind of ironic that, you know, probably the biggest conference in the vacation rental space, and you know they're giving out these boxes because they realize that people are going to need those, because they, you know, you're not going to get it at the Airbnbs that you're staying at here.
Wow, old school, man. And that, yeah, I see that too at the old beach houses in Padre. Still, you get there's nothing, not even a coffee filter. There might be a coffee maker, no filter, no coffee, nothing to start you off with, right? No sugar, no anything, salt and pepper. You have to go to the store and get cooking oil. You have to go make a damn, you know, you get to the beach after all that flying and driving and all that stuff, and then you have to go to the damn grocery store just to get basic supplies, right? You might get one toilet paper roll. Napkins, forget about it. They're not going to give you paper towels. Those are too expensive. Yeah. But yeah, man, it's that old school. That's how it used to be done back in the day. And way back in the day, I heard that you had to bring your own sheets and pillows and stuff.
I know. I think there's still some out there that where you have to bring your own sheets, even. It's crazy, isn't it?
That is nuts, man. Well, we've come a long way, Jasper, and I'm happy you're hopping on my show, and I'm happy I'm hopping on your show in a way, because I guess you're going to put this on yours too. So it's always fun learning from the master of short-term rentals, Jasper Rivers. You know, everybody knows where to find you, right? Get paid for your pad, getpaidforyourpad.com. What else you want to drop?
That's right.
Freewild.com.
Yeah, I mean, if people are interested in our brand, like, go check out freewild.com. And again, it's F-R-E-E and then Y of a W-Y-L-D. So Wild is spelled a little bit different. We're on Instagram. Like, you know, we have somebody on our team that creates really cool content for our Instagram. So we have some cool stuff up on there if you want to check it out. And yeah, I mean, if you want to learn about short-term rental, I mean, we're mostly focusing on helping people with revenue management these days. So it's either like we have a course. We also do one-on-one consulting with, we call it like do it together, right? So like you still do your own revenue management, but we hop on a call every week and we give you like advice on how you're setting your prices and all of that. And then we also actually manage some of our clients. We manage their entire portfolio now. So that's what we're focused on when it comes to the education. But yeah, you know, getpaidforyourpad.com. You know, shoot us an email if you need support on anything, and we're always happy to help.
And there's tons of free knowledge on that website too, getpaidforyourpad.com.
Oh yeah.
And every few months I get drawn back to that website on accident because I'll Google something. And in particular, I was looking for how to get Airbnb payouts before the guest actually stays there. You know, kind of like there was a company. I remember there was a company that you would front you the money, right? And it would work.
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
would work perfect with the timeshare part of our business where we rent out timeshares, but we got to pay for them first until the stay is realized. So we're loading up our credit cards until they pay it, and then we get realized our profits, right? But I was like, man, there was that company out there that would front you the money that Airbnb stays. That'd be perfect for us. And I Googled it, and it sent me to Get Paid for Your Pad article from 2017 or something. and in bold letters in the top, it says, this company fronts you the money. This, a disclaimer,
yeah.
But you left the article up and I'm sure it gets a ton of hits.
Yeah, I learned one time when I was learning about blogging that they told me like you shouldn't delete content, you know, because Google doesn't like that. So if something's outdated, you just put it at the top. You just put, you know, whatever update you have to put there, and then you just leave it there.
And I've been accidentally going there ever since, and a lot of people I'm sure have accidentally went there. But once they're there, what does this get paid for the pad? This is a pretty good article. And so there's a lot of free articles on his blog on the website. So go check it out.
Absolutely.
Get paid for your pad. Check out Jasper's show. It's been going on since the beginning of time. And thanks, Jasper, for hopping on. And I look forward to seeing you at the next conference. Maybe we'll bump into each other.
Yeah, man, for sure. I'm in California now, so like I'm not too far away. And I love eating brisket. So, you know, if any excuse to come down to Texas is I'll take it.
All right. Live Let Thrive. Live Let Thrive conference coming up for you guys.
All right. Sounds good, man.
Thanks, man. Take care. Live Let Thrive out.
Take care.
Get paid for your pad. Get paid for your pad. Get paid for your pad.
I have a question for you. Do you have a solid revenue management strategy in place to maximize the revenue for your listings? Is revenue management part of your daily routine? If not, then you're leaving money on the table. The days that we can ignore revenue management in our hosting business and still do well are over, my friends, and they won't come back. So if you either don't use dynamic pricing and manually enter prices on the OTAs, or you have a pricing tool set up but you're not sure how to use it correctly, then the Cashflow Mastery is for you. In this brand new course, I teach you step by step how to set up your pricing tool, create a winning revenue management strategy, and give you a daily, weekly, and monthly workflow to evaluate your portfolio performance and make strategic price adjustments. I walk you through how we set up our revenue management for Freewild, from setting up your base price to minimum night stays, length of stay discounts, adjacent day pricing, orphan night pricing, and much more. On top of that, you'll get access to countless of calculators and tracking sheets that will give you the insights you need to
to make the right pricing decisions. The course comes with a Facebook group where you can ask questions every day and monthly live Zoom calls to help you stay on track. Do you want to manage your revenue and master your cash flow? Then sign up now at getpaidforyourpad.com/cashflowmastery. That is getpaidforyourpad.com/cashflowmastery.